So good morning, everyone. And just as we get started this morning again, in this coming together practice, I just wanted to say a couple words about, again, sort of, you know, what we're doing moment to moment in our efforts to recognize the present moment, you know, how to be with it. And there's a phrase, again, from Saito Tejaniya that became the title of the second book that was put together by him or by his students, called "Awareness Alone is Not Enough," which I felt a little depressing, because sometimes I thought awareness alone was hard enough, and then now it's not enough. So, but actually, you know, the invitation in a way there is like to invite even more of our interest, in our curiosity. And we're not kind of just going on autopilot and drifting, you know, into a dull stupor. It's this kind of curiosity, you know, where is the mind getting stuck, the heart and mind at times? Has it gone into some kind of cul-de-sac where it just kind of keeps going around in a circle, stuck in the same mood, the same thoughts, the same energies? And we sort of just keep following that. For example, if that ever happens to you. And it may just be interesting to check at times, is it possible to get curious about, you know, what's going on there? What are the beliefs, right? The ideas that are fueling that. And sometimes we're so, in a way, identified with what's going on, that it's difficult for that experience to be known, to become an object, right? Some patterns, some moods, some feelings, a lot of the hindrances, we call these the hindrances, when we are looking sort of into the present moment or experiencing the present moment through the hindrances. Hindrances here would be like the holding on, wanting, the pushing away, aversion, sleepiness in the mind, some confusion and doubt. When we're looking through those, this is oftentimes when we're feeling that meditation is hard. We often say, I don't want to practice anymore. This is the worst suffering possible. So the mind does that, right? So it says that. And our skill, in a way, the invitation that we are kind of invited into, right, is to explore, how do I take this natural rising as something to open to? Right? This, too, is something that we can notice, we can be aware of. And the amazing thing is that, you know, when the view in our mind shifts just a bit, and the attitude then changes along with that. So the view could be, oh, this can be known. This experience can actually be stepped back from and observed. Then there can follow the attitude shift, right? One that is maybe just a little bit more accepting. Is it okay? We've been using this phrase, is it okay to be knowing this? When we're identified with it, we want it to stop. When there's some wisdom in the mind and some gentle, kind orientation to what is there, what previously could feel like an obstacle, a hindrance, get out of my way, get out of here, right? Actually becomes the very fertile ground for some deep understanding of maybe personality structures that we've lived inside of. We don't see these reactive patterns and judgments. But what we're aware of is very different than what we are just simply identified with. When, without awareness, we tend to be identified and caught into patterns, dropping in some awareness, a little bit of wisdom, reminding ourselves, this is what's arising, arising naturally. It's a very different experience. The pattern may still be there, but now we're adding different elements, right? Some capacity to be aware, right? To be with what's arising. And a very quick sort of visual demonstration of like attitude. So what we are experiencing is, and we call this object, right? Object is what we experience. What we experience is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, body experiences, and then all of our subjective heart, mind, moods, emotions, the wholesome qualities, the qualities that are afflictive. All of these experiences are what we call object, meaning it's something that we can be aware of. And awareness, as Mark was describing, is like, in some ways, like the mirror. It can reflect anything. It can be aware of anxiety, of uncertainty, bad moods, good moods, exhilarated. So what we're aware of, then we can recognize, oh, this is being known, right? This, I'm holding up the bell striker. This is being known, whether it's mind or body. As we settle in, we can start to get curious about, well, how is it being known? Is the mind kind of gripping it like this? Maybe sometimes we're really focused in on it and we're totally entangled, not quite clear that this is being known. Then just check, remembering, oh yeah, this object, this experience, it's being known. And we can feel the mind sometimes tight, sometimes pushing, holding. Or oftentimes with one of the forms of delusion is just being identified, right? Identified with the experience. And this is just, we can be curious. Again, we hear these things. When it feels that the mind is settled enough, at times this attitude becomes clear. So it's sort of oscillating. Sometimes awareness alone is enough, totally fine, just be aware. And then other times dropping in that interest and curiosity. What is being known? How is it being known? Openly? Is it identified with the mood, the emotion, the pain? Or is pain being seen as nature? Pain in the body, emotional pain, something that we can be aware of, and then explore how is the mind in relationship to that pain? It's very interesting. It really grows our capacity to be with a full range of experiences where, for me personally, some experiences were just only things I wanted to avoid. But this is really fundamental, this shift of view and attitude over time, where we can play and explore, what kinds of experiences feel difficult and overwhelming. Is it possible to change the view just a little bit? Oh, this is some natural arising. Can I be with it? And always remembering that we can take care of the balance of our mind. We don't have to go into something that we can't get back out of, right? We always take some care. Is it okay to be with this, right? Balancing the mind, being curious. Okay, so can kind of, again, connect with your own intention. If you are not already knowing your own direct experience, just seeing what happens as you invite the nature of the body and mind to be as it is. And awareness can be very, very easeful. And so instead of the effort trying to focus on something, and the energy we use can really be very light checking, just checking if awareness, the sense of being present, of knowing, and we can always start with the object if that feels clear. And what is it that's being known? And sooner or later, you know, in our mindfulness practice, in our experience, we begin to notice at times maybe something that is slightly uncomfortable, some struggle. And that's a good place to check the attitude. And the way that looks might be at first to remind ourselves, right, that whatever is arising in the present moment is arising lawfully. Could say it is a natural process. Some aspect of the mind and body some conditions coming together, and this is what's here. So shifting from just that sense of it's happening to me, my irritation, my pain, my discomfort, to the view that this is arising. And then there's the opportunity to see how the mind, the awareness, is relating to that experience. You don't have to figure anything out, but just a light curiosity at times. It's the difference between having an agenda, wanting something to change, versus an attitude that is allowing, simply acknowledging, or being interested in what's being experienced. again, just from time to time, learning to check on how the mind and body are doing. So often, tensions creep into the body, into the mind, and we can notice that some way that it might be practicing that is worthy of noticing. What brings about a sense of ease, light curiosity, and if a sense of knowing is already there, is there any further kind of relaxing that might be possible? And sometimes when there's momentum in the awareness, we can even trust the process a little bit more. We don't need to do too much. And we do need to check at times, is awareness present? To the body and mind, is it possible to invite in that ease? And knowing also that it's natural for there to be these habits of pushing, resisting, getting entangled, but these can be curious, interesting to observe. chest. And lightly remembering that, you know, whatever is happening, it's okay. The nature of the mind is to think. Thoughts are natural. And with awareness, we can more easily recognize that in the present moment, the mind is thinking. And we can give energy to that recognition, the awareness, rather than following the stories, the concepts. And so whatever process is happening, whether it's thinking, some feelings in the body or mind, the heart, is it possible to see it as nature? To be interested? Cultivating moments of knowing and relaxing, letting go. So in a moment you'll hear the sound of the bell. And you might just notice if there's again any kind of ease, letting go. Right, it might be interesting to notice that just a bit of extra tension or trying that's there. Again, thank you for your practice. Nice to be with you. So, halfway through, I think, roughly. Not that anyone's counting, I'm sure. Maybe just to see if there's any questions that are live for you right now, or anything that you're noticing that you'd like to bring up. We have a few moments for that. Yeah, interesting question. So if the curiosity comes in before the awareness, is that how maybe we slip into some kind of story, we get pulled into the thinking? The domain of interest is a little bit of a tricky domain because it so easily feeds our proliferating mind, the mind that likes to figure things out and resolve and fix and question. It's almost like we feel safer if we're the thinker, thinking something about what's going on versus sometimes just listening and observing and feeling. This function of investigation or interest, it's called Dhamma Vichaya. It is considered a wisdom factor. So wisdom factor, the wisdom, the kind of interest to be with what's there, we call it wholesome meaning. It actually feels light, it feels inviting, and it brings us in a way closer to direct experience. So we want to sort of sense that in our own experience. Is the thinking bringing me further into proliferation, into kind of zooming about, or is that, we call it thinking, but you know, is that energy, the mental energy, being used in a way that helps the mind to stay awake, to stay present, to be with what's there? Then you can feel that you're using the mind in a wholesome way, these skillful, wholesome thoughts. That energy is the energy that feels, yes, this is supportive to the practice. You know, we will often, as soon as we try and think about anything, it's like it immediately goes, you know, it's like there's this pain in the body, and I feel it in the knee. What is this pain? And maybe this pain, I wonder, is it going to stay after I get up? And if I just, and then, God, it's getting really bad, and yeah, and oh yeah, this is definitely going to be chronic and going to cause some permanent damage. But walking on, let's see, if I use a crutch when I walk, that's not so bad. You know, I remember when crutch, you know, so it's like, I don't know, our thoughts, I remember one time I started on the most, like, I don't know, ordinary thought, and the place that I saw it took me was like amazing. It's like you can travel around the whole world with this just one little thought that starts off. And so this is partly of, you know, we need to navigate or sense, you know, how is it that we are, when we bring in this little bit of curiosity, what does it do? Does it help us connect more directly? That's the role of investigation. So if it comes in earlier than our awareness, I'm not quite sure. I'd have to really sit with that to see what does that feel like when it comes in before. Usually that's just the habits of thinking about things. And awareness, when it's really present and you can feel the mind and body are settled, then it's like you're listening to what's there. Almost like you're in conversation with someone and you're really curious about them or about this thing. It's not like you're leading with all kinds of assumptions. It's more you're listening. How does this feel? Is the mind pushing against this? I like that. Oftentimes I'd have this feeling like the door to this thing. I thought I was being aware of it, but so often there'd be this feeling of this door in my kind of awareness kind of pushing against, if it's something a little bit unpleasant, like trying to hold it back. So energies that are unpleasant, like anxieties, right? Discomfort in the body. There's so many subtle ways in which we meet it with aversion. And aversion tends to identify with, it makes us identified, just as holding on, greed, wanting does the same. So then, you know, that kind of curiosity really, it's like reveals patterns that we would normally just be living, but now we get to learn about them. And particularly in the Dhamma path, the Buddha talks so much about how a moment of dukkha, a moment of stress or suffering, really can be the doorway in to some discovery. Something is happening. Can we get curious? What is it? What is the mind? The mind is going to be resisting something. You just check it out. Is that true? Is there some kind of resistance, preference, right, judging? And it's both like the good and bad news. The good news is because our mind is involved in that process, it means there's a way out. If it were because of the experience, then we'd always be trying to get rid of the experience. But the problem is we are not in control of experiences, right? They happen out of conditions. There's some things that we get to do in our practice that is our practice, like how we meet it, that we can put the right conditions in. What we meet, well, that's dependent on this arising world, this realm. So I hope that kind of touches some. Yeah, great. Thank you for that. Oh, yeah. Hi. So can I say anything about what, say that first part again? Right. Yeah.
So all the comes up.
Yes.
Is there anything about the practice that we're doing?
Yeah.
That would cause that, because I am like,
stuff is coming up.
Stuff is coming up.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm also wondering that, okay, my practice is really distracted during the pandemic. And
right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so just a question. Sometimes, like, so in my own words, but so it's noticing in metta practices, sometimes all this stuff comes up because we're trying to generate loving kindness. In this practice, is there this purification process? And I think also naming just during the pandemic, so much stuff happened, right, to all of us. And, you know, and I think it's very thank you for naming, in a way, you know, what is it that we carry into retreat? Well, all of the conditioning forces that we experienced, right, leading up to this moment is there. In the Satipatthana, the mindfulness teachings, the opening line that the Buddha gives about the power of mindfulness, he says, like, this is for the purification of beings, right, for the ending of kind of grief and dukkha and sorrow. And so mindfulness practices in themselves, we say, yes, they are this purification, right? And how does that happen? How is it that happens? Because when we are living our ordinary moments of life, we tend to experience the whole range, but we experience them identified. When it's unpleasant, we try and get out of it. When we notice things are pleasant, we try and kind of move towards it. And here, and this is why sometimes the path is called against the stream, is that we're willing to stay moment to moment with what's arising. We're then cultivating the mind, meaning this momentum, the momentum that we're giving our energy towards these factors, right, that do lead us to see the nature of things clearly. So one moment, and I really do feel this way, like you have one extra moment coming on retreat where you are aware when you otherwise would not have been, that is dramatic. So has anyone had one extra moment of awareness that you might not have had if you had just been surfing around on the internet and doing so? Anyway. Okay, so you all changed your minds, right? So that's how momentum happens. And it's like, you know, our minds on retreat, we come on retreat and we, like, it's be aware. And it's like, aware. And then we're just like, oh my God, no ringing. Then slowly. And then you don't have to tap so often. So the wakefulness starts to happen, right? So like that. So that momentum, this is why we say light touch, you don't need too much. So we are conditioning the mind towards this sort of stable, awake. Then the purification process, right, is as we're not controlling. Yeah, sometimes we get life review. But again, we don't have to dive into things. Really important that we can always stay balanced. Because sometimes what we're experiencing is one level of intensity, and our wisdom and awareness aren't able to deal with that. That's what we say is overwhelmed. That's why we keep bringing the awareness, the stability. When the conditions are right, we can see the nature of some pattern, right? Some emotion, some content, something, and now we understand its nature, that it's impermanent. It's arising. It used to be met with a lot of, like, fear, but then we watch the fear, the anxiety, and slowly we start to have insights, right, around, right, the conditioning of our heart and mind. So that patterns that felt very sticky and overwhelming, slowly they actually start to feel less overwhelming, a little bit less intense. The duration is a little bit shorter, right? So like that, that's kind of over time, this whole progression starts to happen. And that, you know, it's just a matter of building confidence in our practice. It just takes time. But yes, this whole path, in a way, is one of each moment that we're aware, the quality of the mind is changing. Stability is changing. And then we don't need to do that much. Really, when the mind is more stable, present, allowing, open, these things that otherwise we would have just been kind of pulled the mind into this vortex, slowly we have, some more ease around that, some understanding, some letting go. Right? So like that. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so just some encouragements again, light continuity, letting the bell ring, right? Just letting the mind. We've talked about it just a little bit, but the awareness at the eye door, meaning awareness of seeing, if you are sighted, so much of our life, right, kind of we see things and it determines so much of our experience. If we make a habit, just a little bit exploring at times, noticing that seeing is happening, it's very light, not, and our habit is, what is it that we're seeing? Like, I'm seeing that, but it's actually even more simple and gentle. It's just to remember seeing is happening. Just like walking is happening or body movement, seeing is happening. So make this little bit of reminder. And again, it's partly just to play with what else in our experience can we be aware of? And what else is there? Because sometimes we get so honed in, it's hard to just open back up again and, oh, what else is there? Seeing is happening. Sometimes a mood in the background is there. We don't quite recognize it. Then the mood becomes controlling rather than a mood being a support for the awareness. We can use anything to be aware. So light continuity. Reminder, we're back on the first round of the meetings. So you'll be seeing the next one of us. So just a reminder to check the board. And we all tested negative. So that's very good news. We can now not take our masks off. So, but at least we know we're negative, according to the test. So, all right, let's keep going.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.